Looks like everybody's here and it's 5:30. Should we start?
Yeah,
sure.
Are you recording, Nathan?
Yes, I just started the recording.
Okay. So this is a regular meeting of the San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1 Board of Commissioners. It's Wednesday, October 2020. It is 5:30, and this meeting is being held remotely under COVID-19 emergency rules. The public can call in at 509-473-0276 and enter 279-885-068#. So if you do wish to comment and you're having a hard time with the audio on your phone, you can email Nathan Butler, if you wish to comment, at butler@sjcphd1.org if you like. Now I'll let Board Recording Secretary Butler do roll call.
Good evening, commissioners. Let's see. Roll call. Commissioner Clary.
Present.
Commissioner Lehman.
Uh-oh. Trish, are you muted?
Present.
Okay. Present. Okay. Thank you, Trish. Commissioner Lindstrom.
Present.
Commissioner Lachine Seitz.
Present.
Commissioner Loring.
Here.
Additionally, we have Superintendent Hutchins.
Present.
And then I'm Nathan Butler. Everyone's accounted for, Chair Lindstrom.
Thank you. Moving on to the agenda, we have moved the board reports to the end just in interest of efficiency. And if there aren't any objections to that or other amendments, I'm not hearing any, we could go ahead and approve the consent agenda. Do I hear a motion?
I make a motion. We approve the consent agenda.
And a second?
I shall second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, the consent agenda is unanimously approved. And now we move on to our audience participation. We have a 15-minute limit total on this, about 3 minutes per person, and we will also have audience participation towards the end of our meeting as well if you don't get a chance or you're having a hard time with your audio now.
Do you want me to do this, Annalisa?
Yeah, is there anybody that is speaking up? I'm not.
Yeah, *6, you can unmute yourself now if you would like to comment. I do see that we have about 8 members of the public present.
Sorry, I hit the star and not the *6. This is community member Catherine Clary, and I would like to make a comment to the board.
Perfect. Thank you. Catherine, let's just wait and see if there's anybody else as well.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not seeing anybody else. Go ahead, Catherine.
Thank you. Good evening, board, and thank you for this opportunity to speak. As most of you know me, but I wanted to speak on the record and to tell briefly my story. I'm a 20-plus year resident of this county. And I'm also a nurse with Hospice of the Northwest, and my comments are about bringing up the issue of this potential sale of Hospice of the Northwest to a for-profit hospice, Bristol Hospice, based in Massachusetts. And I see that it is on your agenda, for which I am deeply grateful, but I wanted to just let you know, 20 years ago when I moved here and my dad was dying, there was no hospice service available. And his death was extremely horrendous as the doctors and the nursing staff didn't know how to manage his symptoms. And it really exemplified we treat our animals better than we treat our people when it comes to end-of-life care. And after my dad passed, the next month I actually applied to nursing school with the sole purpose of becoming a hospice nurse to serve our county so that nobody else would have to die the way my dad died. And to that end, I have been a nurse out in our county for the better part of the last 8 or 9 years. And we've grown our census from just a handful of people on San Juan Island to now we serve, I think today our census is close to 25, and some days we're pushing 30. We have 2 full-time nurses servicing our county, myself on San Juan Island and another nurse on for the other islands. And we also are hoping to bring on a part-time third nurse to service our growing needs. And the Hospice of the Northwest is jointly owned by a joint venture between Skagit County Public Hospital District Number 1 and Number 304. And they have been speaking with Bristol for over a year through all of the interactions. It's not totally clear what their motivation is to sell our hospice, but I know for our county especially, it has a potential for just horrific consequences, because as a for-profit, they will try to, pare things down to the bare minimum. And I'm afraid that our service, our ability to provide care to our residents will be greatly diminished. And so what I would specifically ask is that our board, you, would please write a letter to the other two boards as commissioner to commissioner to express your concern over this potential sale and to urge them not to to go through with the sale. And with that, thank you very much, and I'll sign off.
Thank you, Catherine.
I'm looking forward to talking more about that later in our meeting as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Nathan. I didn't get any emails or anything. So I don't think there is anybody else that wants to speak.
Okay. Thank you. In that case, we can move on to unfinished business of committee reports and discussions. I'll just run through these. Off-island transport, was there anything to report? No. The community collaboration, I don't believe they met.
I didn't know.
EMS Trauma Care Council.
Didn't meet either. Meeting next month.
Finance Committee.
Can I ask a question about the Trauma Care Council, Commissioner?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gail, Commissioner Lachine Seitz, were you ever actually appointed to that committee? Did that ever happen?
No, not that I know of.
Because you applied and everything, right?
I applied and we sent it into the state, and we haven't heard back. So, Marina, I need to get in touch with Marina and work on that some more. I think the person who
That.
Lainey's saying it was sent to the state twice. Okay, because it's been a long time. And at first it was like, well, we're going to hear back later. But I mean, it's been a year since I haven't heard. I was just wondering what was going on with that. Sorry for interrupting.
Oh,
Lainey's saying they are slow, but actions from you are accepted.
Okay, on that. So there was nothing on the CID, I believe, this month. The Finance Committee. I know we've been busy just in that we've got all these capital improvement plans and budgets to talk about, but we'll talk about those later. Inner Island Healthcare Foundation and long-term care.
I've not had any notification about any meetings. Gail?
Well, Pam will know. No, there hasn't been any notification of meetings that I've heard about either, but Pam will know when that's supposed to be happening.
Okay. Great.
And maybe we'll have that with the update. Are we going to have an update on the HRSA grant? I didn't see that in our...
I will speak to that in my report. Yeah.
Okay. The Community Relations Committee. I think we continue to communicate with the volunteer membership. Trish and I did, and we've had quite a few meetings over the last month. And we continue to focus on addressing issues that were raised by personnel in those concerns as we share the same concerns. Trish, did you have anything to add to that?
No, I know that there was a letter that I could not find. I'm not sure which paper it was in. That was sent by, she sent us an email. Why is my brain? Anyway, I would love if anyone has seen any letters to the newspapers about any issues to have those forwarded because I know there was one.
A letter from Leslie Brennan that she wrote.
Leslie Brennan. Forgive me. Her name escaped me. Yes. And I couldn't locate that letter. So.
Okay. Yeah, I saw it. I'll send it on to you.
Okay. Thank you.
We did email about it. I did mm-hmm. see something on that. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. And then unfinished business, moving on. We had discussed as a particular issue joint response with the fire district, and I had asked Pam to reach out to Chief Collins to talk about a joint response committee of some type. It was something that was brought up earlier this summer, but we had deferred it to discuss at the joint meeting between the two boards, the fire board and the EMS board, and that didn't transpire at that time. So we thought that based on, joint response happening and that we need communication between our training officer and their training officer and things like that. So I think this is something that we've been working on, correct, Pam? I'll let you take this from here.
Okay. Yes, thank you. Yes, we do need to reach out and work together because we are responding jointly together. And I reached out to the Sheriff's Department and to ask them to participate also in the joint response. So it'd be the Sheriff's Office and our district and EMS, and also invited the fire department to join, because oftentimes it's all three of us that are working on a joint response, from the dispatch to EMS and then fire that has been going out on calls also. So the sheriff's department was excited about that prospect and does want to talk further about it. I reached out to the fire department, and they are thinking about how that might work. I haven't got a definite answer yet, but that's where I would like the committee to be, with all three, so that we could all three work on serving our community together. And if any problems arise or just ideas of better service, we can all three talk about it together.
Great. It is really important that we are operating under the same sort of system and making sure that our staff are safe and our patients are safe. That's good news to hear that we're making progress there, because I was feeling like we weren't. So that's good. I'm glad to hear it.
Slow on, but progress. But I definitely would like to get that committee up as soon as possible for all of us to work together.
Yeah, that's great. So, because I had brought up the idea of having a smaller meeting with you and Chief Collins and Bob Jarman and Everett and myself. And you were told that wasn't an option.
The fire district board had made an agreement between their commissioners that they would just entertain talk at their public meeting so all three commissioners could hear what was said at the same time, that they weren't meeting one-on-one, any one-on-one with us. They would rather it be through a public meeting so we could, someone could be put on their agenda and talk that way, but they wanted all communication to be through a public meeting where all three of their commissioners were present.
Okay. So, but we can bring our concerns to you and you can direct them.
Yes, I can. I've had several talks with Chief Collins and that communication is, I can talk to him seemingly about most things. So if you have any communications you would like for me to take to Chief Collins, I am happy to do that. And we can work that way if that's what you desire.
But they have turned down efforts from our training officer to collaborate with their training officer?
Yes, they feel that that's not necessary at this time, that if I bring the training curriculum that's approved ahead of time by the Department of Health, it's like a three-year curriculum to Chief Collins, and he gets his curriculum out, that we would be able to look at it and decide if there was something more necessary to train on, then I would bring that back to our training officer. He would take it back to his training officer. So that's where I am with that right now. So I haven't gotten, and he is out this week, so I haven't been able to talk to him. I'm sorry, there's a gnat flying around here. to talk to him more about that process to see, how that can move forward a little bit smoother.
It's difficult because one of our main concerns has been, joint response and that everybody's following the same protocols and, especially for safety concerns. And so if our training officers aren't able to communicate with each other, it's difficult to work on those things in real time. So I do hope a joint response committee is something that we can create so we can address those things. I know we've had problems too with, what the protocols and procedures are for marine response as well. And It would be nice to have some set protocols so we know what parameters we're all operating in.
Dr. Corsa did put out his latest version of the marine policy that he did some revisions on, so everyone's looking at that to see if it adequately captured all the concerns that each organization had, and then he'll issue the final draft. But the policy that Dr. Corsa puts out, and Dr. Corsa is the medical program director, it's for a higher look at things, and then he expects the organizations under to set their own particular policies that would come under that, such as the policy that we have of not going to an outer island if we don't have another paramedic to cover here, just how that would happen, then we as EMS would set our own, get together and set our own policies on how to handle that particular detail.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's just, I anticipate we're going to be seeing more COVID cases as winter goes on. And so I just think it's really important that we're focused on what the right thing is for making sure our staff is safe and yes. that our community is too and calm. So
definitely.
Thank you. I have a quiet group tonight. Anybody else have anything to add on this particular topic? Okay, moving on. we have integration of EMS and fire as an agenda item, and the board needs to discuss and potentially come up with a plan to resolve this issue. You know, this we've been going around on this for quite some time. We rescinded our resolution to stop integration at a previous meeting, and we've talked about creating a list of sort of absolutes of what we would need to see in order to consider integration. I think they were drafted before the joint board meeting that we had with the fire department. So, and they were sort of go, no-go points. And I don't know how familiar everybody is with them, but at this time, I thought we should open this up for conversation just so everybody can weigh in. And if someone doesn't start, I'm going to start calling on people. So.
Since this is my, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just going to go back for a second to the joint response. It seems really important to meet together to talk about joint response and not have a, intermediary conversations that somehow we do have a joint response committee of some sort. So I'm wondering if we can somehow talk to their board and say, you know, can they change this policy of only having, you know, were they willing to have a committee of this kind? Because it doesn't matter if we have the best policies in the world about how we handle a situation, if they have different policies and both come together and they're doing different things, that doesn't work, right? So we need to somehow have a joint committee. So I think that's one step of even talking about integration, if we can't even talk about what happens at the scenes. Now, try to work things out together and sit down together. I'm not sure how integration will happen if we're not somehow speaking to one another about issues in a not just having the, you know, Pam and Chief talking. So I don't know if that's protocol is to have Pam and the Chief talking and I'm out of line, or if it would be good to have a committee where people can talk about scene. I mean, I know Dr. Corsa also does scene breakdowns too afterward, right? He does so run reviews. So, you know, can he talk to both, if he can work with both organizations on how they respond and how it needs to be changed, or, you know, if there's issues going on, then that's great if he wants to take that role. But I just think a joint response is important, and I don't know if we can address that in some way with their board.
I think it is a little discouraging to, you know, initially when we reached out about having a joint response, starting that up, that we, Pam, you were told that that was not an option.
Yeah, that they had moved on with that committee over the last, 5-6 months. And that was primarily a committee take that fire had instituted within themselves because we did not join at that time. So it has moved on with different things. So we would need to try to do a new joint committee. And that committee did not include the sheriff's department. It was just would have been between Fire 3 and EMS. So this one would be a little bit broader. With the sheriff's department included also.
So you were initially turned down for the just fire department and EMS, and now that it's a broader option, it's maybe we have potential for communication.
Yeah, they didn't say know, they were still thinking about how it might could work that we had a joint response. But we still, I think, need to have the Sheriff's Department involved in it because we all three are work together on these responses, the dispatch from the time dispatch, the call goes out and who they page and with the, especially the outer island calls. And so it seems to me to be a natural fit to have all three agencies talking about response.
Absolutely. Yeah, and to your point, Gail, it is a little bit confusing to think that if we can't collaborate now, like how are we gonna collaborate later? So I do hope that shifts.
And I would agree, this is Commissioner Lehman, because if the fact that we turned down that opportunity for joint response because that looked like talks towards integration and we were not in that mode at the time, you know, I'm disturbed that we're not welcome by fire to be a part of that. So that's unfortunate, and it doesn't give me much confidence in working together. And especially when I see on Facebook that working together is what this is all about with fire and rescue. And so working together is, I hope, at the pinnacle of our two entities, EMS and fire. Yeah. And we need communication. It's the essence of it all. I guess in talking about integration, you know, I'm going to refer to the CAG because, of course, that was a project that we've talked about over and over again, and everyone has a copy of. And I think, you know, if we start going down the what are the absolute conditions of this, the CAG, and maybe we do, I don't know if you want to do a special meeting where we just focus on that and we just go down each one of those absolutes and say yes, yay or nay. I think that's crucial because I think we have to make a decision. I think it's only fair to the community. I think it's only fair to our members of EMS that we make a decision about how we're going to move forward with integration. So, you know, one of my thoughts, quite honestly, is that no one that I know of has taken EMS and fire and merged them together. And that's a big job. And I would personally, I would welcome having an outside person who would come in. They would be our consultant. We would pay for part of, you know, half of it, and fire would pay for half, and they would help guide. And this has nothing to do with, you know, oh, that means we can't do our job. Well, none of us have ever done that job. None of us have taken EMS and fire and integrated them together. So I would just offer that as something to think about. I know that there are consultants on the mainland who have done this that we could bring over here to help guide us through this, because clearly we have difficulties with our relationship with fire, with the fire board, with Chief Collins. It's the truth. And and to have this kind of an intermediary thing where we take something to you, Pam, and then Pam, you take it to Chief Collins, and then you two talk about it, and then you bring it back is very cumbersome. And it doesn't seem like it's very efficient. So I would just like to throw out the idea of a consultant. I know that's an expense, but I think it could help us move forward. I do think that integration is the right thing to do. But again, I will point to page 27 of the CAG, page which talks about presuming leadership competence at the levels it has to be in the various organizations that we're talking about. We need without interagency cooperation, good leadership, and a lot of planning, this won't happen. And we need, again, right in the last paragraph, sound departmental leadership and a solid implementation plan. So You know, I'm just going to throw that out, my other commissioners, about the idea of a special meeting just to focus on integration, because I think these, our meetings are so long. We have a lot to talk about. And, you know, I think we need to have a focus on this specific topic, not just, yeah.
So Commissioner Lehman is proposing a work session meeting.
I am proposing, yes. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a lunch meeting, we do it at 12, everybody brings their lunch. And we meet for an hour, we meet for an hour and we do a work session. But I think that a work session for this specific topic is in order.
And you are right. I think it's very difficult for our superintendent to do her job when she can't delegate to our training officer, or she can't delegate to other people within the agency that she's restricted with communicating directly only to the chief. You know, and perhaps this isn't clear. I haven't actually heard this directly, but, you know, it does seem to me that if we're going to work together, that this is not a good sign. So anyway,
I'd like to hear from my other commissioners.
Yeah, anyone else
about this?
You know, this seems like such a difficult problem. In a lot of ways, I don't blame fire at all, because I think we have our backs up as well. And we actually are kind of two boards facing off, neither one particularly liking the way the other behaves. And it's almost as though it's some sort of a self-perpetuating distrust. And somehow we have to get over that, because, you know, I think all of these people are good people. They're all Islanders. I truly believe they all actually have the interest of the people of San Juan at heart. And I think that somehow we really have to get over that. And I don't know how that works. You know, this is a real Gordian knot. Maybe we need Hercules to come in with a sword and cut the knot in half. Maybe that's the consultant you're talking about, Trish, somebody who doesn't have a dog in this fight, either mm-hmm. one or the other, who can simply yes. get in and, you know, maybe that would be the primary benefit of it. We are certainly, I feel like I am guilty. I can't really speak for the rest of you, but I have not been clear about what my requirements are for integration. I know that I was first handed the CAG and saying this was the plan. And as early as September, it was clear that we were not, that the board, the existing PhD board, was not following, and neither was actually the fire, following the CAG, the absolutes. And I was questioning what was happening. And so starting early on, we were asking fire to put the brakes on. And that's because the only plan that I could see was the CAG. And yet, I think that I have not even been so clear as to insist that we adhere to the CAG. So I have been very unclear about what's necessary. And so I agree with Trish that we need to sit down and, I think, be really clear in our minds that, because I for one believe that we need to give integration a fair and real attempt. It is the right thing to do, not at any cost, but with certain parameters, it is the right thing to do. And it absolutely requires that both boards and everybody involved really work together to make this thing happen properly. And that really is not happening. It's clearly not happening. And there's blame to be shared on both sides. I actually hoped that when we had the joint meeting last time that we would be on the road to establishing that rapport. And I was a little disappointed that it was going to be a working meeting. I joked about it would have been nice to have had a picnic of beer and hot dogs and we not talk at all about business, just so that we could learn that people on both sides were people and had legitimate, just that we were real, that we weren't some sort of awful things. But instead, we had work scheduled and there were issues and it went sideways in the worst possible way, that it just ended up with both sides being even more distrustful of each other. And so I'm in favor of anything that we can do that brings both sides, that makes both sides real. And so if the best that we can do is to have a working meeting, and at least we have control over what we do, and that's all we have control over. So I think that's a great suggestion. Let's have a working meeting. I don't like special meetings, but a working meeting. And public is welcome to listen in, and where we talk about what our absolutes would be, what our and absolutes are kind of they're too strong, but what are the things that we would like to see, and see if we can go from, see if we can find something. So yeah, I think that's a great idea, Trish, and I would be in favor of us doing that, and possibly a consultant is sounds like a really good idea. Because it would be that neutral third party, and maybe that's what we need to bring, a mediator, if you will. Maybe that's a better word than a consultant. Maybe we need a mediator. So, yeah, that's my two bits. Thank you.
Maybe a little more than two bits there, Commissioner Clary. this is Commissioner Loring. I'd like to resolve whether we're going to pursue this or not as an entity. I think that's step one. Step two is trying to figure out, get a sense for what the staff at EMS are thinking about this proposal. And I've been asking for this for a while, and it hasn't gone anywhere. But I think that's really important. And step three is, I guess, just meeting with the fire board again. From what I'm hearing, everybody seems willing to do that again and have that conversation. I may be the most reticent. As you know, I've been concerned about the approach that the fire district has taken to this. It's been heavy-handed. It's kind of a public relations campaign through the newspaper. So I've been concerned. I was concerned when one of our commissioners was insulted pretty directly during that last meeting. But the tone I'm getting from others is that people are willing to move on and move forward that way. So I say we do. And in advance of that meeting, we had already put together our concerns. We'd already created a list of things that we thought needed to occur and that we all needed to pledge to find out. I think there are probably some items that we think the fire district is in charge of putting together, some information maybe, and others that we probably agree that somebody needs to do, but it's not necessarily on the fire district to do it. So I'm thinking of everything from budgets to equipment plans going forward, all of that, capital plans. So I say we pick up where we left off and get some additional information from our staff and go from there. And if we need maybe somebody else to guide that meeting who has some mediation ability, that might make a lot of sense. But I say we figure it out and move forward if that's the sense from everybody else.
Yeah, you're right. We do actually have a fairly comprehensive list already, just with things that we had been asking for, a capital equipment plan, operational budgets, expansion of the fire board, things that we felt were important were in-house staffing of paid personnel, key performance indicators to be tracked before integration and after, so we could see that there potentially was improvement, annexation of town into the fire levy, they have been a few steps that have, you know, been completed, which one of them was that they, you know, they're working on the annexation and getting that on the ballot. I would like to be able to communicate with the fire board about how we could be supportive in that process. You know, I think that would be important. And also, you know, they've completed the redistricting, so our district boundaries match. So they've added those outer islands. You know, and we have more EMS-centric issues as well. You know, but I do think a financial plan is really important. And also, you know, hearing from our staff is really important as well. We basically just need an agreement to work together in general. And we need that now so Pam can delegate and so we can work on these, you know, so many of these issues that were brought up by staff that we share these concerns we want to work on. But if we can't have our training officer collaborating with their training officer, you know, it's really hard to work on these things. So I do think we have a list. So and maybe I need to put that in a more concise form for everyone. And then.
But do we know? So do we know if the buyer wants to meet with us and wants to revisit integration? And we have any sense of that since we haven't really had any communications from the fire board at all, have we?
Pam, you said that they said I could come to their board meeting and they would put me on the agenda.
They named you, but I'm sure any of our commissioners that wanted to address them, they would put us on the agenda. I suspect that they still do want to integrate. I think also that we need to get started and working together and see to integrate. I still think integration is a good thing for our residents. We just need to figure out how to get back on track and talking about it.
And I'm pretty sure we've talked about a consultant before, and that was not met with welcomeness. Yeah, because we even having Duncan at the last meeting was kind of a challenge to get an agreement, right?
Yeah.
I'd like to chime in, too. I hope, Gail, I'm not interrupting you. I probably am. I'm sorry.
No, I'm fine.
But I think it's really, really, really important that everyone, if we do any kind of joint meetings, that everybody is on video.
I agree.
And I think we have to find a different platform, whether it's going to be Zoom, but if we're going to meet with fire and we have to meet under the rules of COVID through this platform, that it's essential that we can see everybody's faces. And I'll share in just a little bit. This is my third different hospital district meeting I've attended today and fourth in the last few days. So I've had the opportunity to be a witness and a speaker and observe how other hospital districts, three other hospital districts on the mainland are running their meetings. And everybody shows up on video, number one.
Yeah.
So that to me is essential. I'm not having a meeting with half the people on the phone. No. I want to see. I've never even laid eyes on Frank Cardinelli. I wouldn't know him if I saw him on the street, and I'd like to see his face. So, and Bob German, I want to see his face. I know his face. So, yeah. So yeah. That would be one of my requirements, is let we figure out a platform that everyone could use and that everyone be present. By face.
Commissioners, this is Nathan. Is it all right if I comment a little bit?
Please.
I feel like a little bit we're in the same spot we were 6, 7, 8 months ago. I mean, we have had a lot of meetings about this. I was kind of looking back at our board meeting record, looking through agendas and things, I mean, we actually have had dedicated special board meetings to this topic. And before COVID, we did research consultants, and we had a list of consultants, as someone pointed out. Chief Collins had indicated he wasn't particularly amenable to that, but that may have changed. I don't know. I guess, you know, it's really important that this issue be resolved one way or the other. I think that in many ways, all of our staff and volunteers, probably to some degree on the fire district side, I know certainly many different community leaders with which we interact, and people are sort of waiting to hear what you decide on this. And to some degree, I don't know that we can really resume business until you decide. Like, to some extent, almost everything we do is kind of seen through the light of will they or won't they decide? Mm-hmm. How will you decide on this? Mm-hmm. I guess my question to you is, what do you really need to make a decision? I mean, because I do feel we've talked about it a lot. I mean, what do you really need to make that decision, and how can we help make that happen? I mean, Kyle had indicated that he would like a survey. I'm happy to help facilitate that. I'm not sure the surveys can be. Go ahead.
I'd like to have a survey. I want to know what our members, I want their opinions, and I want their input on integration. So I would love for a survey to go out to all of our members at EMS.
So we can work on a draft for that. A lot of times people's answers are narrative, yeah. Right? I mean, people.
Yeah,
like,
I think we've gotten a lot of input, which is good. I think we need to know that the EMS staff will be treated equally and with respect by the fire board. And, you know, all the things we asked for in our go no-goes are, you know, that people are paid fairly, that it's that the union's included, if they have union representation, that you know, that it'll be a working entity that can work together. I think the bottom line is not all these requirements. It's and that's what we keep running up against a wall, because we just even try to have a conversation with the fire board and we can't even have a conversation. So it's really hard to say, here, we want to hand you off all this, all of EMS and all the staff, and good luck, everybody, the volunteers, and hope that they're treated well and not, you know, there's my phone and my dog.
Yeah.
Because when the phone rings, the dog rings. That's how it works in my house. Gosh. Anyway, yes, that's my what I would say. It's a little ethereal, but isn't that what we want, is to know that it's going to work, that there's a plan, and that our staff and volunteers are going to be treated and welcomed the way and treated as well as the, you know, fire staff, and that things will happen the way that they need to happen for our clients out there who are having emergencies and crises.
That fits with my impression, is that I think that's an accurate summary of what's holding you back. Is there some way we can resolve that, or perhaps work around that to get where we need to be? I know that for many of you, I mean, in my conversations with you, feel free to stop me if you want me to stop talking. and Pam, that goes for you as well. My impression is, you can always shut me up, Pam. My impression is that, you know, each of you want to move forward, but feel that sort of things have gone badly awry along the way, for whatever reason. And I don't know, there's a lot of point in trying to assign why. But my sense is if you want to do this, we should give people plenty of time to know what your decision is, and be able to make personal adjustments as they see fit. I think we're kind of past the point where we can kind of sign an agreement and integrate tomorrow or something. I don't I don't know that after how all this is gone, that that's realistic. Do any of you think that?
I don't think it's possible to sign something like an interlocal agreement and just make it happen at this point. I think the issues that we were concerned about with an interlocal agreement have really become even more highlighted in this process. I guess for me, like, I'd really like to see a joint response committee actually functioning mm-hmm. and working. That would be a great first sign mm-hmm. to show me that there is this intention by all parties to work together. The fact that we've been told that's not an option, that really concerns me. That, you know, how then do we work on integration if we can't work on just the things we do every day to make them better? So, I do think that, you know, starting with a survey of our staff, because they're really the most important factor in this whole thing, EMS is nothing without its people. So we need to hear from them. I have this list. I will type it up. I will send it to Pam and Nathan, and then they can distribute it to all of you and we can fine tune it. And then, I hope that while we're working on the survey and we are fine tuning our list of the absolutes that we need to consider integration, to move the process forward, that a joint response committee happens and that we can see that there is intention to work on these things to create better service and to make sure we're doing things correctly. I think it's going to be really hard to address the concerns of our membership, with our joint response if we can't communicate. Yeah, it almost feels impossible. So I'd like to see those things happen in a month before our next meeting. And if we're seeing progress, if we're seeing that communication is happening, I think that'll make it a lot easier to start talking about what we need to see. I mean, I need to see combined budgets. I've been asking for that for well over a year. We need to see capital equipment plans and, we need assurances about our staff. But I think we need to start with a joint response committee and see that happen.
I think we can certainly do that. And as staff, I'm happy to help facilitate aspects of that if Pam desires. I do think that a reasonable place to start, though, is if integration is going to happen, when do you see that happening? I think even that answer would be useful for our staff. So you don't really see integration happening now. I mean,
Well, you and I have hypothetically talked about the a way to create a grace period for everyone to ask the fire department to do a levy increase in 2022 when the EMS levy runs out. And that gives everyone enough time to prepare. And I think that's possibly the most considerate way to handle it.
Yeah, I know that probably there will be some who are unhappy about how far that away that is. But on the other hand, it's hard to, between COVID and everything else, to see it likely to be sooner than that. Our levy runs out the end of January 2022. But we would also need to know that certain things are accomplished,
Nathan,
in time.
Excuse me, you said the end of January in 2022. I thought it was the end of December 2022.
My mistake. You're right. It's December 31st.
Just wanted to clarify. Thank you. Okay.
My mistake.
Okay.
I was just thinking, but we need to know in advance if this project isn't going forward so that we can renew our levy, right? So it's not like we can wait to find out until halfway through 2022 or something. There's not really time to renew your levy. There's not really time to kind of do plan B, which is stay the way we are. I think if you take kind of at the tail end of this, we know that we kind of need to know by February or March of 2022 And then we know also that we can't really do it now due to COVID, due to kind of the need to give people time to cool off. I mean, that kind of moves us towards a time frame that our board and that we would find acceptable.
Right.
Is that accurate?
I feel that it is, but I still want to hear from our membership.
Right. No, we should. We should.
I like having a long-term plan. I think that makes sense. I think putting something together that, you know, allows many months. I think there's no question our COVID situation has put a real monkey wrench in, well, the ability to communicate, number one. And you know, it had been recommended by one of our members, a long-standing member, well-respected member of EMS, who had said, gosh, it just makes sense to wait until COVID is over to start joint discussions so that we can meet in person. I don't disagree with that, because I think this format, given the challenges we've had with our relationship with fire, you know, that being in person might be really beneficial. But, you know, that's certainly something to consider. The problem is that I'm not seeing any light at the end of the tunnel with COVID here. We could be well into 2021 and still doing this.
That's a pretty significant decision point, though, right? I mean, we're saying if we're going to figure out whether we're going to, if we're going to integrate or not, whatever needs to happen beforehand, we basically need by March of 2022, right? Because you've got, you got a February and you've got an April election cycle and then primary, then fall, and you've got to submit whatever ballot resolution 60 days in advance. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where that timing comes from. And then kind of on the front end, you know that you have COVID. So if we, you know, I think potentially we could literally work this out by the next board meeting. We could have on paper saying, if our board consents to integration, here's the time frame that would work for us. I mean, we haven't been able to do that all year. I mean, that would be a significant step, right? And I think that mm-hmm. would really help our people feel more comfortable and confident with where they stand, because people don't know if, you know, we're going to be around in 3 months or in 5 years. I mean, they just don't know. I mean, it's hard when you're hiring. I mean, I understand the board component. What I'm trying to express to you is the on the ground, the component, people on the ground who kind of just don't know what to expect. I mean, it would be fantastic. And even if people don't agree with your decision, it would be fantastic for people to have a better idea mm-hmm. of time frames and kind of what you're thinking. And so we can do this survey, and maybe based on this discussion, we can pin down a time frame that would work for you, that you would consent to. And it may not be something everybody likes, but maybe it would work.
Pam?
I think we actually need a decision before 2022, that because what we learned from the failure of having to do three levies to get it passed last time was that we did not start soon enough to have a consolidated, consistent plan for going out for the levy. So I wouldn't be not comfortable in waiting till March of 2022 when our levy expires the end of 2022. I would think we need to start working on it, you know, by the fall of 2021 or maybe even in the summer mm-hmm. because it took a really dedicated committee that third time around to really delve in and get a consistent message and the meetings and the materials that were sent out. And that takes time. So I would rather start if we have to have a campaign for levy sooner back in 2021 rather than wait in the first part of 2022.